And welcome to the Pikapi podcast. I found so many things in my life related to Pokemon, and at the moment, the plan is to go through the whole series from start to finish, or until I catch up to wherever the series is. But, as you are well aware, if you haven't been living under a rock, Pokemon has been going on for a while. It's a long series, and there may be some hitches along the way. A lot of episodes to cover, and I don't own or have access to all of them. So, there may be some abridgments along the way, and in fact, the direction and focus of this podcast is subject to change and could evolve. See how I use the word of... Oh, okay, never mind. So let's get right into it. The first episode begins, and you know, I used to love this theme song, but it starts with the Game Boy intro, which looks like you're playing Pokemon Red or Pokemon Green, like with a little Nidorino and a Gengar, like attacking, and it just slowly sags so that you see it's like a stadium, and there's like a commentator as if it's like, you know, Friday Night Football. And actually, there's a wonderful Coastly skit about that, about Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. I think it was just this last year, maybe 2009, where, you know, Ash gets into a Pokemon battle because he's, you know, the champion, and then suddenly, like, these commentators pop out of nowhere. It's Monday Night Pokemon! But anyway, the stadium at the Pokemon League, fans are watching the Gengar and Nidorino attack, and the trainers are fighting, and it segs again into a television set so that you see that in Pallet Town, Ash Ketchum is watching it. And for this episode in particular, the main character will be referred to as Ash, and, you know, we'll use the English names for the town names. That might change, or I might swap back and forth between the English version and the Japanese version, depending on which is more relevant. Today I watched the episode in English, so therefore we'll be using English names. But just know that Ash and Satoshi are in many ways interchangeable names for the purposes of this podcast. Not always, and I will let you know when those moments are. Right now, Ash is 10 years old, and it is not his birthday, despite many fans thinking this. The biggest reason, or the biggest proof that it's not his birthday is just the fact that there's four other people going on their Pokemon journeys on this particular day, and it's just inconceivable that all four of them would be born on the same day. According to Takeshi Shudo's novelizations, he's written a few novelizations about the anime, and the date of Ash's birth is 10 years, 10 months, and 10 days exactly prior to the day he began his Pokemon journey. Again, that's not necessarily canon to the anime series, but it kind of suggests that Pokemon trainers obtain their first Pokemon after the year following their 10th birthday. That, you know, Gary and Ash are both 10, but they don't necessarily have to have the same birthday exactly. And that maybe in Pallet Town, everybody departs on the same day when they're 10. Whereas in other cities Ash has visited, it's kind of been suggested that, you know, some trainers leave on their 10th birthday, and that, you know, the trainers wouldn't necessarily all have this exodus together. So maybe in different regions or different cities, traditions are different. It certainly would make more sense for children living in towns other than Pallet Town, where Professor Oak didn't live, or where they might not have access to, you know, a Pokemon center that would give them a starter Pokemon, like trainers who, like Misty, perhaps, who got them from her family, that they might just leave any time they please after turning 10, whereas in Pallet Town, maybe it's a tradition that they all get their Pokemon from Professor Oak and leave on the same day. But according to that same novelization by Shudo, Pokemon trainers depart April 1st, after their 10th birthday, and if the anime broadcast itself on the first of that month in Japan, in 1997, Ash's birthday would be May 22nd. Just in case you were wondering. So Ash is watching TV, and his mom comes in and reminds him that it's late at night, you need to be asleep. And, you know, he's too excited to fall asleep, so his mom changes the television to, like, a lecture by Professor Oak, you know, something educational. And during this scene in Ash's room, you get to see all of the Pokemon paraphernalia, like the Pidgey clock. I think he's also got, like, a Snorlax pillow, and his bedspread is covered with Pokeballs. It's really cute. I love little things like that, the paraphernalia. Like, the things that give culture to this other world where that's like our own, but not quite. It's really quite cool. And of course, Ash, you know, spends all night dreaming about Pokemon and wakes up late with his, like, Voltorb alarm clock with the little Pidgey in it or whatever, like, just smashed on the floor. And since he's overslept, he just bolts out of his house in pajamas, and heads off to Professor Oak's laboratory. And outside the laboratory, Gary, the rival, is being introduced. He's the guy in the purple shirt. He's, you know, Mr. Cool. I've got like a group of cheerleaders and the entire town cheering me on. And it seems that Gary is slated to like be Pallet Town's next hero. Like everyone is just so happy. And Gary takes off in a car. Gary is the rival, and as I've mentioned, Ash's English name is Satoshi. Gary's is Shigeru. The creator of Pokemon's name was Satoshi Tajiri. So the main character's name in Pokemon Red or Pokemon Green, your playable name is one of the options, is Satoshi. The rival name is Shigeru. It's derived from Shigeru Miyamoto, who is another game artist. And it's kind of a joke that the two of them are like, you know, in a sort of rivalry. He's known for games like Super Mario and Zelda, and we all know how popular those were. But back to Gary the character, he's from the same town as Ash. They grew up together, and you'll find out later that they seem to be friends, or, you know, were once friends, and now they have this rivalry. And so, you know, Gary is going to be extremely important later. But for right now, Gary is, you know, the rude kid who's, you know, popular. He's got money. He's got, you know, a fan club, cheerleaders, the red convertible, and a chauffeur. You know, he doesn't have to walk on his journey like, you know, conventional trainers, or at least, you know, from Pallet Town. And he also kind of gives Ash little, you know, pet names and things to annoy him. In this first episode, he kind of acts a little bit like he doesn't know Ash, like, you know, so, oh, you must be Ash, and that sort of thing. And it's a little bit vague as to, you know, to what degree Gary actually knows him. There's, you know, been a few theories about that. This first episode was kind of the pilot, so it might not have been fully fleshed out what Gary would be to Ash and, you know, the many layers that, you know, could exist between their relationship that, you know, were discovered over the course of the series. It's also kind of been thought that is really not a very important point. Like, Gary could easily just be taunting Ash, like, you know, who are you? Oh, like, I totally don't even register you as a rival. The most important thing to know about Gary is he's just very proud, and he's Professor Oak's grandson, the big important thing. And he also, people have a lot of faith that Gary is going to do well. He's a very conventional trainer. You know, he's going to capture a lot of strong Pokemon and, you know, succeed out there in the world. Whereas Ash kind of, by comparison, nobody seems to have a whole lot of faith in him. Like, you know, the crowd doesn't pay attention to him. You know, his mom kind of rounds up the neighborhood kids to send out, you know, Ash off, and, you know, signs and noisemakers. But Professor Oak doesn't seem too impressed with him. The town in general just, you know, doesn't even notice Ash leave. Like, they don't expect too much from him. Part of it's just because Ash woke up late that we don't really get to see the other two trainers that left for Pallet Town that day, because apparently there were four. We don't know their names. We don't know, at least not yet, you know, anything that may have happened to them. And I really wish there was, like, maybe a whole spin-off series, or at least, you know, an episode going back into Ash's past and talking about these other two and, you know, where they ended up. Because right now I'm starting to wonder, like, if Ash has any friends. Like, does he know these other two kids who are leaving? Because, you know, Pallet Town is exactly that. It's a small town. Everybody in the town kind of, sort of, knows everybody. So the fact that nobody seems to ask, like, where Ash is when, you know, he wakes up, except Gary, who might have even, you know, been hanging around waiting for him to, you know, throw it in Ash's face or leave together, because, you know, the two of them have a bond. I really want to know, like, about these two other kids and, you know, Ash's place in Pallet Town. And I'll get to that in other episodes, because we do look at his, you know, childhood in certain other future series, but right now it's all very vague and intriguing. Much fan fiction has been written about this. But, as I said, there were four trainers leaving, Gary, Ash, and two others, and I think that this shows extremely poor planning on Professor Oak's part, because when Ash, you know, late as it was, arrives at Professor Oak's laboratory, there's only three Pokemon, and they've all been taken. Professor Oak, though he, you know, kind of acts a little bit like he doesn't know Ash, which seems a little odd, because, you know, we'll find out later that he's actually quite good friends with Ash's family. He knew that four people were coming, four children were leaving on their Pokemon journey, and yet he only had three. So there's no Pokemon left for Ash to take on his journey. And when Ash pleads and prods and, you know, begs, basically, to be given a Pokemon, Professor Oak reluctantly tells him about this one Pokemon that's left, and it's Pikachu. And there's a lot of really interesting theories. It's either Professor Oak is just that absent-minded as to only have three Pokemon when he knows there's going to be four trainers, or he expected one of them to take Pikachu. And there's an interesting debate about, you know, did he expect Ash to be the one to succeed training Pikachu, or the one who, you know, would get him? And if there's a movie that's coming along down the line where we'll get more into that theory. But another theory is maybe he expected Gary to take Pikachu. And then, of course, Gary chose Squirtle. Maybe he expected Gary to succeed with this, you know, unruly little electric mouse, or he wanted to give Gary, you know, a special Pokemon instead of one of the three starters. But, you know, whatever the reason, Ash ends up with Pikachu, who does not like him at all. The initial meeting between Ash and Pikachu, when Pikachu kind of like erupts from this Pokeball in a flash of light, is kind of special in that you see some interesting things about Ash. And, you know, most of this episode, you really see a lot of interesting things about Ash's character. You know, first of all, in their first meeting, you see, like, Ash's reaction is like, it's so cute, it's the best of all. Which kind of says that even though Squirtle was his first choice, he really just loves all Pokemon. Like, he's just excited to have this new friend, and he picks it up and he hugs it. Pikachu doesn't like this and shocks him with an electric attack. But you can see that Ash is willing to make this work. And, you know, outside, even though, you know, Pikachu won't get in his Pokeball, and, you know, Ash has to wear, like, rubber gloves as protection and practically drag Pikachu along the road with him. You can see that Ash is willing to listen to reason. He's all of 10 years old and, you know, stupid about Pokemon training, and, like, he only knows, like, maybe three things about how to raise a Pokemon, and he's gonna cling to those like his rock. But, the second Pikachu, you know, with the help of the Pokedex, points out that, you know, some Pokemon don't like being in Pokeballs, Ash, you know, immediately does a 180. He's like, oh, well, okay, you don't have to get in your Pokeball. You know, I'll untie you. I'll, you know, get rid of these rubber gloves. And, you know, is willing to be like, hey, I'm sorry, let's make it work. Pikachu still doesn't, you know, think it's good enough to, you know, really trust Ash and bond with him, even though, you know, Ash kind of tries to treat it as a friendship. So when a wild Pokemon appears in the distance, and Ash is like, you know, let's go get it. And Pikachu's like, no.
So Pikachu's behavior is kind of interesting because it seems to go beyond just not wanting to do things. He's refusing orders just for the sake of refusing orders, laughing at Ash and making fun of him. Like, he seems to just genuinely want to make this hard. It's not just about, you know, not wanting to be in the Pokeball or not wanting to be trained, because Ash understands that Pikachu doesn't want to be in Pokeballs and has stopped asking. He's done everything he can conceivably do, short of giving his life, to win over Pikachu's friendship. And Pikachu is resisting with everything he has. And it kind of makes you wonder what kind of life Pikachu had before being stuck in a Pokeball with Professor Oak or meeting Ash. Because even when he's offered comfort and affection, Pikachu returns it with, you know, an electric shock. Like, he won't take anything. He won't allow anybody to love him. He won't even entertain the thought that Ash might be anything greater than what he first appears to be. Which leads us to the Pidgeotto attack.
which is kind of awesome in a horrible way. Ash, as usual, is, you know, has no idea what he's doing. Ash is a total dolt when it comes to conventional Pokemon training. And you know, common sense in general. You know, it's a bad day when even your electronic Pokedex calls you stupid. But Pikachu just has a field day with Ash trying to catch this Pidgey by himself. You know, he tries throwing the Pokeball at it. He tries, like, catching it in his pajamas. It's just nothing doing. But you, at the same time, you can kind of see a sort of ingenuity in Ash. Whereas, you know, many other trainers would have, you know, gone back to Pikachu and be like, you know, you're doing this, or tried to, you know, work it out with Pikachu, or given up. Ash is like, well, let's find another way. Like, Ash thinks outside the box, and it's stupid to think that he could actually, you know, weaken the Pidgey, I'm using air quotes here, with, you know, trying to catch it in, you know, a pajama shirt or whatever. But it's interesting that he would try. Here we see some of the things that Ash has in his bag that his mom packed for him, like, you know, cocoa and the rubber gloves and line to dry his laundry, and of course, the underwear, which, you know, starts the running joke of, you know, change your underwear every day, every single day, which, you know, is a source of embarrassment for Ash. Of course, nothing in his bag is going to help him catch that Pidgey, and instead, you know, he finds a little Rattata, you know, looking for food from stupid travelers. And Pikachu still, you know, nothing doing with the Pokemon catching thing. So Ash, you know, gets really frustrated and he throws a rock at a Spearow, which is really, I think, slightly out of character for Ash because he's very, you know, anti-hurting Pokemon. But at the same time, this is the first day of his journey. He's 10 and he's, you know, dumb as a brick. But, you know, 20 episodes later, you will see a very different Ash have evolved. But anyway, Spearow, rightfully so, is a little bit angry. But he doesn't take it out on Ash, who, you know, actually threw the rock. He takes it out on Pikachu. And the Pokedex explains that, you know, wild Pokemon can be jealous of the Pokemon trained by humans. And there's some really interesting, you know, Spearow vision. Animation in Pokemon at this stage is not really all that great, but at the same time, it's in its simplicity, it's really quite striking. So anyway, Pikachu shocks Spearow, who falls from the sky and is hurt, and they think it's over, but the Spearow cries for help from its backup buddies. And if you've ever seen Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, this is it. It's just this flock of birds attacking them, and the only option left is to run. At this point, I start to wonder a little bit about Pikachu's history, because, you know, he's, you know, not willing to give Ash a chance, despite, you know, Ash's attempts to, you know, be friendly and kind of, you know, win him over with the love of friendship and bonding and trust. You know, Ash wants to be total BFFs, but, you know, Pikachu's having none of it, and you start to wonder if Pikachu just, you know, is slightly distrustful of humans and, you know, really mischievous, because, you know, it's not a stretch to think that Pikachu just has no respect for Ash as a trainer, and, you know, many, many Pokemon don't at this stage of Ash's journey, or if Pikachu seriously has some issues, and you'll get into that a little more in other episodes down the road, but at this point, it seems almost bizarre that Pikachu, you know, Ash is maybe kind of stupid, but he's trying. And at this point, you know, their lives are in danger, and Ash is like, you know, let me help protect you or whatever. And Pikachu just kind of darts off without him, like not even trusting Ash to take care of him or, you know, wanting to put any faith in him at all. And, you know, at a time when you have a flock of Spearows after you, you know, after you specifically, and, you know, there's a person nearby who's bigger and stronger, and, you know, a human and it's kind of implied that humans have a little bit of mastery over the Pokemon of the world, you would accept a little bit of help from that human. At the very least, you wouldn't run away and leave him behind. You'd want to stick fairly close, because you might not trust him, but he might turn out to be useful. And we really just don't know where Pikachu came from before, you know, he showed up in Professor Oak's laboratory. So there's some really interesting theories to come from there. But in running off, Pikachu does eventually get attacked by Spearows and weakened to the point where he can't even run. And now, whether he likes it or not, he is in Ash's protection. And Ash, you know, picks him up in his arms and, you know, very dramatic rescues, running away from birds and jumping off cliffs. And they jump into the water and, you know, are fished out by Misty. And Misty will be very, very important later. But for now, she's just a spirited, if somewhat rude, girl with a bike. And the important thing is that she has transportation. She's really kind of hard on Ash for, you know, Pikachu being hurt and, you know, absolutely refuses to give him the benefit of the doubt. She, in fact, you know, slaps him across the face. It's edited in the English version. But she gives him some important information, being that there's a Pokemon Center nearby that, you know, Pikachu could be healed at and they'll be safe. The birds are still following them at this point. So Ash steals Misty's bike with the promise, "I'll give it back someday." And it's just like, really, Ash? Are you really going to give that back? But, you know, times are tough and dangerous, and desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess. Now the real drama begins, with the thunder and the rain, and, you know, Ash eventually goes over a small cliff and crashes the bike. And this resulting scene is one of the best scenes in Pokemon, period. It's also the most iconic. He's looking at Pikachu on the ground, Pikachu's injured, and, you know, lightning and rain all around. And you really start to think, like, maybe Pikachu is going, they're all going to die here of their injuries, of the birds that are, you know, getting closer and closer. And Ash makes a decision. He tells Pikachu to get inside the Pokeball where it'll be safe. And I guess Ash is going to be the diversion. You know, let the Spearows take their anger out on him. And then once, but, you know, they won't be able to get to Pikachu in the Pokeball. And then Pikachu can come out whenever it's safe. And at this point, it's really interesting because unlike some rescue attempts Ash has had where he's been willing to give his life, this isn't a split-second decision. You can see Ash thinking about it. Like, you know, I might die if I do this. Because he tells Pikachu, you know, after that, just trust me. Because he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Gives the order to Pikachu, and then he stands up and gives that speech to the Spearows. And it's not particularly, you know, loquacious or inspiring that way, but it's just, you know, all that bravery of, you know, false bravado that comes with martyrdom. And it's really interesting because Ash takes Pokemon training extremely, extremely seriously. You know, he's stupid at it. He's so bad at it at this stage of the journey. But he does, his role as the human in the human Pokemon relationship is one that Ash, you know, refuses to, you know, take lightly. He has a responsibility to these creatures that he's taking in under his care. And even if he's ineffective at it, he's got to do whatever he can. And that's kind of touches Pikachu because it is a bit of a rarity in the average trainer. Not necessarily in general. There are a lot of trainers who think like Ash, and you'll meet them as the series goes on. But, you know, the conventional 10-year-old starting his journey does not think the way Ash does about this. And you also have to add in the added dimension. As I've mentioned, you know, Ash does not appear to really know a lot of those other kids in the town aside from Gary, who despises him. Ash, you know, this might be Ash's only chance at having a friend because he doesn't seem to have any others. The idea of losing, you know, this Pokemon that who could have been his friend is, you know, something he's willing to give his life for, maybe. But anyway, Pikachu, like I said, is touched by Ash's actions and decides to give him a chance. And, you know, Pikachu jumps up onto Ash's shoulder. And again, I just love this scene. It's just so beautiful. And again, kind of simplistic. Like, it's gone beyond, you know, motion. And it's just still frames, tableaus. Anyway, Pikachu draws the lightning from the storm to, you know, raise its strength. And the electrical attack just kind of takes out everything in the vicinity, starting the running joke of Pikachu frying girls' bikes. He's done that so far with every companion except for Iris. in the new series. But anyway, Pikachu's drained and Ash is a little bit of a unconscious. And they both rise from where they were knocked out at daybreak, once the sun rises, and, you know, look kind of happy that they're alive and that they did it together. And at this point, we see the Ho-Oh that flies through the sky. And, you know, the Pokedex says that, you know, some Pokemon, you know, haven't been discovered yet. There are things that in the world of Pokemon that they just don't know. This also starts a kind of a running thing with Ash seeing legendary Pokemon. And it's just a really special start to his journey, as, you know, kind of a bad start in some ways. But the two of them carry on to Viridian City, where the Pokemon is located. And they're now partners in crime. It's a shaky foundation, but they are friends. And the journey will continue on, with the narration kind of implying that many, many more adventures are in store. There's some few interesting trivia things about this episode. First one being, one of the trainers in the very beginning, the Pokemon match that Ash was watching of the Pokemon League battle, Bruno might have been, who is one of the Elite Four, he might have been the trainer in Shadow. Also, this is the only time when anyone sees Pikachu in its own Pokeball. It's one of the few times you see Pikachu in any Pokeball. Also, this is the only episode that does not have Team Rocket in it. Well, there's one exception being in the Advanced Generation series, episode 120, which was kind of like a recap episode, and it just summed up the entire series up to that point. Team Rocket was not in that, but again, it was a recap series. Nothing actually happened to Ash or anybody else. And, you know, it was skipped in the English version. So in the English version, this really is the only main series episodes Team Rocket isn't in. And of course, it's the first episode where the Pokemon theme gets introduced. And that's the first episode, in a very extremely large nutshell. It's practically a coconut shell. But there was a lot to cover. The first episode kind of sets the whole ball rolling. And, you know, the more you watch the series, the more charged the first episode is. Like, I love going back and watching it after watching, say, the Johto series or Advanced Generation, because there's so much more to think about when you go back, like Ash and Gary and the relationship, you know, Delia and Professor Oak, you know, the various other people in Pallet Town, and, you know, Ash's journey in general. As the narration says, you know, there, who knows what lies in store? There's more coming down the road. So thank you for listening to this Pokemon podcast. And again, as with experience, I will get better at this and try not to go off on quite as many tangents and get so caught up in babbling. I hope you'll be watching Pokemon with me and enjoying, maybe hearing some things that you didn't know or hadn't ever thought about before. And that if you've been living under a rock and you don't know what Pokemon is, you know, please check it out, because it really is such an amazing show. It seems, it is a children's show, and it seems, you know, very simplistic and childish, and in some ways it is, but there's so much going on. There's something to appreciate. If you'd like to contact us, you can visit the blog, www.pikapipodcast.blogspot.com. You can also visit us at our VideoJug page, which is at www.videojugpages.com/sites/3844. Or if you just get on videojugpages.com and enter in the search engine either Pokemon Episode Guide, Pokemon Podcast, Drama Watcher, in the search engine, it should take you right to us. The blog updates always have links to VideoJug, where you can find the show notes and any macros I've made. And if you have a VideoJug account, I recommend that you follow us there, because the VideoJug site is always the first one to be updated. But if you prefer the blog, it is also updated fairly quickly, as quickly as I can manage anyway. And we look forward to hearing from you and hearing your thoughts on all the Pokemon episodes, your memories of your childhood, and your conspiracy theories as to why all the Nurse Joys look alike. But thank you for listening. This has been Pika P Podcast, and hopefully we'll see you next time. Bye! Bye. 口の中、雲の中、あのこのさ